Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Please. Thank you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place, Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us again this evening, as we are every evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we want to ask that you would join us this evening as we are going to deal with the topic of who is this Jesus? Last week we talked about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, the chapter, the first to the 14 verses, and Acts 9, 1 through 2. And tonight, on August the 9th, our second lesson is going to talk about Jesus as the healer. For those of you who are joining us, please feel prepared to start turning your Bibles to Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 14th through the 17th verses, the 28th through the 34th verses, and Matthew 9, 1 through 8. Now join us for devotion. We'd like to have devotion this evening, and if we could get one of the old famous spiritual songs, if Dr. Nix is on the line, if you'd be willing to render us a song from the old days, something to take us back about Jesus. And Brother Eric, if you would you get a scripture for us? And I would begin us with prayer.
All right.
Okay. Song, scripture, prayer.
I want Jesus to walk with me.
Man.
I want Jesus to walk with me.
All right now.
All along my pilgrim journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. In my trials, walk with me. In my trial, Lord, walk with me. When the shades of life are falling, I want Jesus to walk with me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Tonight's foundational text, we're going to be reading in the New Living Translation, Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. That's Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. The word thus reads, "One day Jesus said to the disciples, Let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they got into the boat and started out. On the way across, Jesus lay down for a nap. And while he was sleeping, the wind began to rise. A fierce storm developed that threatened to swamp them, and they were in real danger. The disciples woke him up shouting, 'Master, Master, we're going to drown.' Jesus rebuked the wind and the raging waves. The storm stopped, and all was calm. Then he asked them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were filled with awe and amazement. They said one to another, 'Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him?'" Who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? read for you Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, understanding of his word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is so good. God, we come before you and we just want to celebrate who you are. We are coming tonight to examine that very thing. Reveal yourself to us. Last week, Lord, you helped us to understand that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And in that, Lord, we're learning to open our eyes spiritually so that we can see you and experience you and how we might do that to share that with other people. So we're asking tonight that you would come into our hearts, that you would not only permeate the studio, oh God, but that you would go out to our listeners and empower them to have a true understanding of who you are. We ask this now in the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray, trusting you for all things. Amen.
Amen.
So,
amen.
This is a really exciting topic, and Brother Eric Jefferson Barnett is leading us in this wonderful study. So, Brother Eric, if you're ready, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. Is it possible to get a roll call to we have thus far? I know we'll have folks joining us as this is, folks, the dinner hour and people getting off work depending upon their time zone. So just kind of want to get a feel of who we've got right now.
Me, Dr. you, and Dr. Nooks, and Sean.
Sister Sean, how you doing?
I'm good. How's everybody?
All right. Well, listen, thank you all for being here and for those that are on their way. So like I said last week, this who is this Jesus is a central part of Christian faith, and we really need to settle in our minds who this Jesus is. And so for the month, we've got 5 study days this month. We're going to look at different aspects. And as Dr. Susie said, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life last week. Today we want to look at Jesus, the healer, and what that means to us and how that should liberate us. Because what I've come to understand the writer, I believe it's Hebrews, it's impossible to please God without faith. That was James.
Amen.
It's
the word does
impossible.
Say that.
Yeah. It is impossible to please God without faith. And so when we look at healing, that is an act of faith when we're going before God. When we're going before our Maker who created us, so who better knows us? And so I want to look at Jesus as the healer, and I got, some scriptures kind of stayed in Matthew for this week because Matthew does a great job of expounding upon those. And I've got 2 other scriptures that I want to add, Dr. Susan. That's Matthew 9. 27 through 34. That's Matthew 9, 27 through 34. And if we get time to then look at Matthew 12, 22 through 37. But we're talking about Jesus the healer. We're settling in our mind who this Jesus is, the cornerstone of our faith. And that, the cornerstone. And that's true, the cornerstone. The stone rejected by the builders has now become the cornerstone.
Amen.
Scripture tells us that. So if someone could read Matthew 8, 14 through 17.
I can. Matthew 8, 14 through 17, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, when Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. See, this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases."
Amen.
He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. So Jesus the healer. So we have Jesus who's coming to Peter, one of the disciples' house. Peter's mother-in-law is ill. He's in bed with a high fever. And just the touch of her hand, the fever left. Why is that significant in to us as followers of Christ? Why is that significant to you, Dr. Nooks?
Oh, it's very significant, and personally, and also in the people that I serve, and I serve the sick.
Mm.
And so when I go in and pray, I believe that God can make a difference in their lives. And Jesus as the healer means a lot to me. I've had sicknesses. I've had illnesses. And, you know, Jesus heals, but even more than that, Jesus is with us through our sicknesses. And that means a lot to me, and I think it means a lot to a lot of people that are sick. Sometimes we forget to understand that even though we may not be healed of our sicknesses physically, we're healed spiritually. And besides being healed spiritually, we also have a God that is with us, Emmanuel, to go through those sicknesses with us. So it means a lot to me that Jesus is the healer. And he touched the mother-in-law of Peter, and the fever left her, but many people. It says he cast out demons. Many people controlled by demons were brought to Jesus. So, you know, maybe they had the understanding then that if people were sick, they were possessed, but there were people that were possessed by demons. And I think there still are people today that are possessed by demons.
Hey, I know some Chuckies.
it's very important.
And
we need to believe that people, that Satan does, you know, possess people, Satan is very busy, because we've gotten to the point, many of us, that we don't hardly believe that there's demon possession anymore. We don't believe. I mean, Jesus cast out demons. I mean, the disciples cast out demons. Demon possession was then, and it's now, and Satan is laughing at us, and people don't understand that he's really possessing some folks around here, and they act crazy, and that's because they are demon possessed.
Yeah, I remember. I remember watching an old Steven Seagal movie, and I forget which one it was, but the guy turned around and said, "The best trick the devil has is to make people think he doesn't exist."
Amen. But we have the power to cast out demons through the name of Jesus. Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
But I hope we talk about this a little bit, because I think people don't really believe that there's such a thing. People don't believe that there is demon possession. And I know a pastor that, you know, Pastor Wilson, they actually have a deliverance ministry, and that's what they do. They deal with this on a regular basis, and it's no joke. And he and his wife, that's what they expose to.
Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know why people don't believe that that's still not true, because here's. I remember having this conversation with my sister, and she finally has been baptized. But I remember being in Ohio visiting with her, and we were talking and you know, about some things, and she mentioned, "Well, I don't believe that, because my sister had to be delivered." She didn't believe it, but we knew that she was possessed. We knew that. my family and my grandmother, without a doubt. And what I shared with her, and I think this is what most people have a hard time visualizing, even the word tells us that the fight is in high places. It's not with flesh and blood. It's, you know, principality of darkness and all of that. And that is a realm that is just beyond the average person's vision. Now, when you get real close to God, it can be revealed to you that you can see that world. Or if you get close enough to the devil, you can see that world, that dark world. But that is a plane that is just beyond what we can see, and it absolutely is real. There is a war for man's soul.
Amen.
Because when Satan got prideful and God said, you got to go, he took a third of heaven with him at that time. That's what the scriptures say. And Satan's word was, well, when it's all said and done, I'll have more souls than you was, prompted God to say, well, I'll turn rocks into souls first. Because God has that power and Satan doesn't. And so, you know, we've gotten very lax in our preaching and our teaching. We don't want to, you know, make people think that, you know, doom and gloom. We want, you know, what the scriptures say, they'll have itching ears. They'll want to be entertained. You know, they don't want to hear the truth.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
Where we are in today's society, and it is starting down the slippery slope, if not halfway down the slope. But it is very real and it's very true, and our God talks about it, and it is still prevalent today. I mean, when we believe in the rapture and we talk about that and we look at Daniel's visions and, you know, and John's account as in Revelation, until God creates this new heaven and earth, that is very real. And for those, you know, for some folks who are enduring sicknesses, may be induced because of that very power of demons working within their heart. But demons can't function without you letting them in.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what a lot of people need to understand is that they can't function without you letting them in. They have to have a host, and you have to let them in. They can't just break
you
in,
know,
just
Brother
like Christ isn't going to break in.
Brother Eric, we're so glad to have you leading us tonight. We have callers from Kentucky. We have Brother Lester with us tonight. We've got James with us. Reverend Diggs has joined us. And so your audience is people are getting online. So just to let you know, you have more people to dialogue with
tonight.
Appreciate that. But, you know, as you brought up the idea of a host, you know, I firmly believe that I don't think that people who belong to God, and Brother Lester, you're on the line, you know, this is a topic that your denomination deals with on a regular basis as well. But it's my understanding that Christians, believers, cannot be possessed. They can be used, but they can't be possessed. I was told they can't be possessed. Now, other people who don't have that relationship with Christ can be possessed. So, Brother Lester, you on the line? What do you know about possession?
Come off mute,
Take
brother.
Your phone off mute. Take your phone off mute. Sean, are you familiar or have heard of anything about that, Brother Nooks? He must be on mute. Brother Eric, we can get back to Okay.
Well, it clearly talks about that, and we're going to go even further as we look at Matthew 8:28-34. James, Dr. Nooks, can you read that for us?
Matthew 8, what is?
Yeah, Matthew 8,
verses
28-34.
Yes, I can. When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake, in the region of the Gadarenes, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They lived in a cemetery and were so violent that no one could go through that area. They began screaming at him, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding in the distance. So the demons begged, "If you cast us out, send us into that herd of pigs." "All right, go," Jesus commanded them. So the demons came out of the men and entered the pigs, and the whole herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. How far do you want me to go?
Go ahead and finish up at 34.
Okay. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town, telling everyone what happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone. My Lord.
Woo!
He messed up their finances. Killed those pigs.
Wow. They want to stay in darkness.
Amen.
They want to stay in darkness. So when we talk about this possession, even now, it's clearly that in this scripture, the demons know the story. They know the script. They know who this Jesus is. And they say, "Have you come to torment us before our appointed time, before God's appointed time?" They already know the script. That's what that scripture tells us. And so if they know the script, shouldn't we know it by reading God's word? Shouldn't we let it wash over us daily? Shouldn't we be grounded in it? So that even in the midst of all the things that we go through, we get it. We have an idea. We know. We not have an idea. We know what's going to happen. Being children of God, being followers of Christ, being children, being joint heirs with Christ. I mean, isn't that what that says? They begin screaming at him, "Why are you bothering us, Son of God? You have no right. You have," and then it says, "You have no right to torment us before God's appointed time."
My Lord.
And so he was casting them out of the human host. Then they asked to go into another host. And I recall Reverend Eubanks, Reverend Mose Eubanks, God bless his soul, a great, great teacher who taught me in my early life in Sunday school. And I never knew if he was joking about this, but he said, "So why do you think the pigs ran, why do you think they wanted to go into the pigs, first of all?" And then Jesus said, "Well, go. All right, go." So they went in, and then the pigs ran down and drowned themselves. And he said to the class one Sunday, he said, so they was trying to get into another human host, and Christ was like, "Well, now I ain't gonna let that happen." Now we do know that back this time Jews did not eat pork. That was a forbidden food for them, correct? Dr. Nooks?
Yes.
So we know the Jews didn't eat pork, but there were some other folks that were around there who were not Jews. And so that little, those you know, scriptures right there tell me that they knew the script, they understood, and I still submit until Christ comes back the second time, the demon possession is still pliable today.
Amen.
When you see it sometimes, they can dress it up, but it is still pliable today.
Yeah, the church that I go to now, they got a person came in and they got really, I guess, a great understanding about demon possession because a woman came in that was demon possessed. This was the Baptist church, and they had never experienced anything like that before. And they prayed for the woman all day. And the woman was asking for prayer because she wanted to be released from the demons. So I think that was significant, first of all. And she was cussing them out and throwing them around, had great strength. You know, people, they don't understand that these things are real. Finally, they believed that the demon was cast out, and she came back like the next day, and the demon possessed her again. So I mean, it was a battle, and they were worn out. They were totally worn out. I mean, the pastor and several of the deacons and members of the church, and they even skipped the service because they were praying for this woman. So I mean, they became believers after that. But, I mean, these kind of things are real, and they're happening.
They are very, very real. So Jesus is healing. He's healed, you know, Peter's mother-in-law. He's healed all the folks that were brought to him while he was staying at the house there. And it says that he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. And I want to back up to that a little bit because normally when people are sick, you don't want to be around them if you're healthy, do you? You don't want to have nothing to do with them. Because sick people they're moody, they're angry, they don't feel well, you don't know if it's contagious, you know, so you don't really want to be around them. But yet Christ is showing true compassion because he's not sending them away. He's embracing them. And I've always kind of understood this from a very early age when I read about Christ is that he never really tried to preach to people until he showed them and met their physical needs. That folks that were hungry fed them first. Then he talked, you know, about them. The woman caught in adultery, you know, he bent down and we never knew what he wrote in the dirt. I suspect he wrote all the sins of the guys who were accusing her. I'm saying, yeah, you slept with her, you did, but we don't know. But he always tried to meet people's physical needs and restore them before he really preached to them. And is that our message today?
Not usually.
Right.
Sometimes.
Not usually. In organized religion, not usually. Individually, it may be, because we know that people are in need and they're hurting, but in most organized religion, that is not the case. It's, you know, oh, let me witness to you first. But if that person has a need that needs to be met, you're not going to do a whole lot of witness until you meet that need. Because it's hard for me to hear you talk about Jesus when my stomach is growling.
Amen.
So,
the greatest sermons we preach is to show the love of Christ.
Yeah.
People.
Amen. But what do you think about this town? 34, the entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone.
Mm-hmm. Sound like a bunch of demons in them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sounds like they had been influenced by demons anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that amazing? And we still have people like that today, right? I mean, they hear the word and they get convicted, but, you know, now go away, leave me alone.
Well, think about it, though. He did mess up the economy of this one province where he cast the demons out and they went into the swine, and then the swine went into the waterway and they died. Just imagine what that did to the fish and the air and everything else, and the economy for the people who were, you know, selling those swine. That was a pretty big deal, wasn't it? 2,000 of them or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
It was not
so
it didn't say that.
Would you want Jesus to show up and mess up the economy?
If I'm looking at it, you know, physically, probably not, brother Carver. But when you get the context that Jesus has just driven out demons out of these two men who were out by the cemetery, and nobody can go through that region. Nobody. It says nobody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It said nobody could go through that area. Now all of a sudden, these men are sane and in their right mind. I believe that I wouldn't be too concerned about that economy, because if he could do that, he could create a new economy for me.
There you go.
Amen.
I mean,
Amen.
Think about
you
this.
Know
think
one
about...
of the things that's Brother Eric, this is Dr. Adrian. One of the things to me that's really exciting about Jesus in this context, when we're looking at who Jesus is we can see proof of the union of Jesus and his Father threefold. You know, the power of God that's manifested in this miracle points from Jesus to the Father. It says, you know, the scripture that says, I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. The Father living in me is doing this work. And you can see that work being manifested by the miracles in front of them. You can see that happening. And, you know, that's a really important element as we're trying to understand who Jesus is.
Well, and, you know,
that's
as important as it pertains to us, because it was God in Christ, and now it's God in Christ and Christ in us. It's the same God in power in us with Christ that allows us to perform miracles, signs and wonders as well when we believe.
All right.
And the demons pointed that out. Why are you bothering us, Son of God? And then again, you have no right to torture us before God's appointed time. But when Christ showed up, it is God's appointed time.
All right.
Well, isn't it
but
really interesting how... Isn't it really interesting how the demons know the God in you, but the
Amen.
People who should
Amen.
Know the God in you, come on in church, who
Amen.
Should know,
Go ahead.
Don't seem to have a clue. What's you know, if we studied our word, if we understood and knew the word, see, the demons know more about the word than the believers at times, because they haven't studied to show themselves approved. You know, and we got to get beyond being lax, you know, and see this as the real battle that we are actually engaged in.
Yep, and we've got to
Amen.
Follow our leader in this battle. And we got to take some orders.
Well, and you got to remember,
you're in the military, right?
Well, you got to remember, it's a spiritual battle, and that's why you have to report for duty at the beginning of the day before the throne of God and receive his grace and mercy. If you're looking to receive orders from a man, then you're probably looking at another battle.
Well, Brother Conrad, I would agree with that, but I also recommend that when you report for battle, you better have your equipment.
There you go.
And then
your helmet of salvation, your shoes shod, your feet shod with the preparation.
Yeah, right.
Of the
Ephesians clearly spells out what
right?
that is.
That's right. And the thing is, it's all spiritual. And so when our focus is spiritual, when it's the kingdom of God that we seek first and the righteousness of God that we seek first, then all of the temporal physical things that we need are provided. And somehow we get this backwards where we do things out of order instead of seeking the spiritual first. We want to seek the physical. And I can understand for neophytes and babes in Christ and new believers and unbelievers, feed them, by all means. But with believers, the problem is that people are seeking the hand of God. They want the provision. They want the goodies. They want the loaves and the fishes. But they don't want the meat and the word. They don't desire the kingdom of God. They're not looking to win souls. They don't want the righteousness of God to have to share in the sufferings of Christ as well as the reward of Christ. So they're doing things out of order and expecting results.
Yeah, well, right. They get results, just not the ones that they should be getting, unfortunately.
God wants to bless them, and that is the loss, is that God has so much more for you than you can even imagine, and you are looking for the same crumbs the world is looking for. That's sad. That's a loss. That is a loss because you just are not informed of the word, or you don't believe the word that you know, and that's even sadder.
Well, that's true. And so let me transition because I think a lot of people, I've always felt this way, but I've come to understand this probably in the last 15 years, is that with that scripture that if you seek first the kingdom and righteousness of God, all these other things will be added to you. But if you're seeking first the rights and kingdom of God, you're not worried about that other stuff because you're worried about the relationship that you have with God,
which is the most
important thing that you could absolutely have, which is what he wants is our relationship with him.
And he says if you have that, then all those other things come. That's not
you don't need to worry about those because you know those are going to be taken care of.
So I want to
transition. Brother Brett, are you able to read?
What was that?
Are you able to read tonight?
Sure.
Can you read Matthew 9, 18 through 26, please?
Matthew 9?
Yeah, 18 through 26. Now, Jesus the healer is getting ready to show out now.
Eighteen through twenty-six. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. This girl is not dead, but sleep." but they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put aside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region.
Look at that. What do you think about this Jesus? No, that's good, Brother Brett. That's absolutely excellent. What do we think about this Brother Jesus? The people coming in and say, she's already dead, but I know you can bring her back to life.
There you go.
Amen.
Ain't no doubt in my mind. I know you can. So, you know, I know you can, and I know you probably could do it from here, but I want you to travel with me because I need some other people to see this. I need some other people to know that you are who you say you are. But
I believe, but you know what, Brother Eric? This is Dr. Susie. It's real apparent that sometimes when we are really trying to do a work for the Lord, the first thing we got to do is get rid of the people who don't believe. You got to move them out of the way.
Amen.
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 You know that's right.
Because they're hindering the process.
Got the clean house, and there may be some folks that's real close to you too.
Extra true.
Got the clean house, and on the way there's this woman who's been sick for 12 years, and she says to herself, if I can just touch the edge of his garment, the hem of his garment. Because I've heard about him, and here he is walking by me, and I'm gonna reach out here and touch him and say, I'm going to be healed. Now, how many of us today are walking in that faith?
Amen.
I ain't saying, something wrong, you're not going to the doctor, you're not, you know, trying to find out what it is, but how many of us are really taking that in our secret closet, on our knees, looking to God, saying, hey, you are God, you are in control, you're on the throne, I'm your child, here's what I got. And I know you're able to do it. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow.
Well, there's even another level of that, is if you think of the fact that it's God in Christ and Christ in you, and you have the power to heal, you have the power to perform miracles, you have the power to operate and perform supernatural faith, right? And when you call upon that power, the same way they saw Jesus coming, when people see you coming and you're operating in that level of faith, then you, because you believe, can perform signs, miracles, and wonders. It's the same Jesus in you that it was walking around then, if you believe. But if you don't know or if you don't believe, then there won't be any signs, miracles, and wonders. So we have to grow to that level.
Amen.
We got to grow to that level, but we got to be honest about our relationship with God to get to that level, to even talk about growing in that level.
And this is Dr. Susie. What's so exciting to me about the text is that here we have a person who is someone who is official in the military, it appeared. You know, he seemed to be someone of influence and prestige. And not only
he was
when
a leader,
he went to
Dr.
Jesus
Susie,
to tell him about the story.
He was a leader in the synagogue.
Right.
He was a leader in the Jewish synagogue. He was a person
religious
of prestige and privilege.
Right. Yeah, that's what it says in verse 18. But the thing is, here he is. He's going to Jesus, and Jesus, he gets derailed. He gets delayed. And he knows that every second is crucial for his daughters to be living, because when he started on the journey, she was alive. So it took some extra special something or other that Jesus was trying to teach him, because he allowed that detour possibly to help strengthen his faith. And sometimes I think we have to learn that being able to see. You know, Jairus was able to see what happened with the woman, right? But he also was able to learn through this to trust Christ in a way that he hadn't, because he already saw, he began to see personally, firsthand, the miracles of Jesus. And sometimes we forget that. I think we forget to look at the circumstances around us where God is doing miracles every day, trying to help show us that we need to have faith. We need to hold on to keep us encouraged. And that's what I think, you know, was happening for Jairus, you know, which can happen for us. You know, if we look around daily and you listen to Eric's testimony about how God brought him through, or you listen to Sean's testimony or my testimony, or you hear that somebody was ill and they recovered, those kind of things should empower us to have faith. Just saying.
They should, and I submit to all of everybody listening that when we wake up and able to get up, that is the first miracle of the day.
So I don't know, it just excited me. The idea that, can y'all still hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, it just excited me that, you know, here we are. We have seen, you know, that Jesus has the ability, and he is one with the Father, and so he deals with demon possession. We see Jesus that he is one with the Father when he can go in and say, she ain't dead, she's just sleeping. And we can see a miracle that's taking place because of faith in God. And that ought to encourage us that ain't, God's not through doing those manifestations. God can still work miracles in our lives. And I think, Brother Lester, you know, is it about, you know, when it comes to miracles, you know, well, it seems to me as though we can't delve into that which we don't understand. We need to read the Word so we can understand how Jesus deals with demons and how Jesus deals with how he worked in building the faith of these individuals who were involved with this miracle with Jairus.
Well, if you focus, for us, if we focus on 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, right, where he tells us about the operations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues with interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing, it's that discerning of spirits and the word of knowledge and word of wisdom, that's what positions you to be able to cast out demons, devil spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ, and that walk in the authority and get that done instead of being afraid. And, you know, when you operate in that authority, then those things come natural. You do them, and you expect results, and you'll see results. But if the devil can talk you out of the least of those operations of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, of the gift of Holy Spirit, rather, then he doesn't have to worry about you performing miracles or walking in supernatural acts of faith or healing anybody or casting out demons or receiving a word of knowledge or word of wisdom, because you don't even believe to speak in tongues or interpret tongues or prophesy, right? When all of those come and are part of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So just, I encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. They go together, and it positions you to have a comprehensive understanding of how to use the power of the Holy Spirit in you, because it's God in Christ and Christ in you. The same power then is now, if you believe.
Hey man, this is Eric. You know, and I guess what I would tell the listeners is that, you know, you get to that point when you solidify your authentic relationship with God.
All right.
Because until you get that done, you're not getting any place else. I know that's not the correct English. I know that.
Oh, no, that's true. That's fundamental. So, you must believe. You must pray. You must fast. You must forgive. There's so much that you must do.
Let me do this very quickly. Let me read Matthew 9:27-34. Matthew 9:27-34. Yes.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I like to say something.
Absolutely,
now,
Brother Brett.
Now everybody's saying what needs to be done, and there's a lot that you have to do to get to that point. But we have to understand there's a whole lot of people out here that have been going to church for years. They say they're Christians, and the reason why most church folk, and in that includes some ministers, will not indulge in the subject we're talking about today is because they don't believe in themselves that they have enough faith to cast out demons.
That's true.
Now, the thing is that we talked about this a few weeks back, that everybody that is a Christian has the power to baptize people.
Amen.
God gave us that power. But we also have the power to cast out the demons.
Amen.
But a lot of people don't believe that because they do not act on their faith. They do not believe wholeheartedly in what they say that they are. When you say you're a Christian, do you really believe that you're a Christian? Or are you
Amen.
Just saying that because everybody else is saying it? And see, the whole thing starts is that if you say you're a Christian, but you have no hope, then you're not going to be able to do anything because it all starts with hope.
Well, say you're a believer and you just don't believe. Can you be a believer and not believe? That's
yeah,
outrageous.
You got people that lie all the time.
They
want to be part of
it. Or they're just deceived. We have dumbed down Christianity to such a level that people don't see the difference between someone who says they're saved and someone without the Holy Spirit.
Now, I understand that. But you got people that have been playing church.
Dr. Susan. One of the challenges, you know, I want to respond to Lester a little bit here as we're looking at the study and understanding that, you know, we've got people who are interacting with Jesus. And Brett asked a question about people who don't seem to be who they say. And Lester's challenging us that, you know, we can't dumb down Christianity. We have to pull people up to the standards in which God is calling us to do and to be. And that's one of the reasons why you don't delve into spiritual matters without having some expertise in it, and as Eric said, an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. You know,
Amen.
You need to have on the armor. You need to know the things that you're dealing with. You need, because the enemy ain't no joke.
There you go.
And I think the question would be, has anyone on the line cast out demons before? And do you understand that the power that the devil used to have before Calvary, he no longer has? He's been stripped. God gave all of that power in heaven and earth and under the earth to his son, Jesus Christ. And he's going to hand all that power back after the devil and the antichrist and the beast and all those who follow him are cast into the lake of fire. The keys to the kingdom will be handed back to the Father. So the question is, you know, do you want to operate in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit? And then if you do and you say yes to God, he can make everything else available to you because it's all in his word.
Amen. But it's not going to happen until you learn to walk in the authenticity of the relationship with Jesus Christ. And
Amen.
That's what we're trying to show people tonight, is that we need to understand this is all about who Jesus is. We need to have
Amen.
Clarity as we are choosing to walk with God, understanding that he is the way, the truth, and the life, understanding that Jesus is the healer, because as you said, Brother
All
Lester,
right.
All power is in his hand, and he and the Father are one. And as he does what he does, it's manifestation of the relationship with God. And that's what we have to understand.
Amen.
So
Amen.
We are talking about who is Jesus,
We're talking about understanding that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. We've read the scripture in Matthew where we heard that Jesus healed a young lady, that Jesus healed a person that was possessed. We heard that Jesus was able to raise someone from the dead. And the part I don't want us to miss as we're going through this, and I think it's very crucial, is that as we go through the process, it's about faith building. It's about understanding that Jesus is being aware of Jairus as he's right there seeing these people be healed. He's also probably getting some sort of application and understanding that, you know, as he went to Jesus with an agenda, Jesus didn't change his agenda for Jairus. But
amen.
Jairus still got his needs met. And what he had to learn to do, which is very evident in the midst of this, is that he has to learn to trust. And that's what Jesus is trying to get us to understand, is that things may not manifest the way that we think they should. But if we put our faith and trust in God, we'll get where we need to get. We'll understand that God is who God said is who God said God is. What'd you say, Lester?
I have a question. You remember when Jesus Christ he was healing the blind man, right? And he put mud on the guy's eyes, and the guy said, "Oh, I see men as trees." And then he did it again, right? Until the man saw clearly, right? He was administering healing, and that is one indication. The things we see in the scriptures about how we're to follow through, how we're to expect total healing, total deliverance when we're operating the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And so Jesus Christ asked the guy, "How do you see?" And he's like, "Oh, I see men, but they're blurry." And then Jesus Christ put more, you know, he did it again until the guy saw clearly, until the guy really had restoration of his sight. And I think it's our desire to minister to others that is the manifestation of the love of God in our lives that makes us want to heal others, to deliver others from demon possession, to restore others, right? The love of God always goes beyond who we are and overflows into the lives of somebody else. And that's the other thing. A true sign, miracle, or wonder will always point men's attention, people's attention to God, whereas a lying sign, a lying wonder, or a lying miracle, which those exist, you've seen David Blaine and the other magicians, right? Those
right.
always point to the person performing the miracle. So if you want to know if it's false or real, look at who gets the glory. And you'll see that pattern in the scripture as well.
Well, I want to take a second and intervene, Lester. Don't go anywhere. I want to read that scripture that you brought up. It's Matthew 12, starting at the 22nd verse. It says, "Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him, and he could both see and talk." And then, so that's one of the situations where Jesus healed a person who was blind. I have the other one right here. Dadgummit. My phone cut off. Let me see. Here we go. It's Mark 8:21. He says, they came to Bethesda, and people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." And once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus
Amen.
Sent him home saying, "Don't even go into the village." And then he goes on. I just want to go on just a little bit because it's talking about Jesus and the Messiah. And Jesus and his disciples went on to the village around Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" And that's where we are tonight. Who is this Jesus? We've listened to the miracles. We've listened to the power of God. We've listened to him as a healer. We've listened to him as one who raised the dead. Who is Jesus, and who is he to you?
All right.
And with that, Dr. Susie, I'll turn it back to you, because that is an amen, amen, amen.
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 That is enough of amen.
I would like everybody to take one moment as we close to talk to our radio audience and just give those of us who feel the need to just share who Jesus is to you. We've heard what Jesus can do, but if each person on the line tonight who's open, if you would just take a moment to share who Jesus is to you. As our radio audience are out there and they're wondering, who is this Jesus? What can he do in my life? How can Jesus change me? How can Jesus impact me? When there are people who have situations that are demon-possessed, I know he can change my life. If he can deal and help and raise somebody from the dead, I know he can do a good work in my life. So just take a second right now, and those who are willing, if you would step up to the plate and share who Jesus is to you.
Well, this is Eric. When I finally surrendered my life and made it authentic, Jesus became my all in all. And I know people, you know, like, yeah, what does that mean? Well, I'll give you this example, and my wife, she'll tell you, I'll tell her that always. When the Lord has something for me to do, I'm going to be in his will, and I tell my wife without a bit, I love you dearly, but I love God more. And if God has asked me to do something, you better believe I'm doing it, because I know that that's where my strength lies. That's where my all in all lies.
All right.
And that did not happen until I fully surrendered. Doesn't mean that I still don't have struggles. Doesn't mean that I'm still not tempted. Doesn't mean I still don't fall. Doesn't mean that I still don't have to ask for forgiveness. But because Christ is my all in all, I know I am forgiven. The word clearly tells me he's justified. God is justified.
See them all
in all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Lester?
To me, Jesus Christ is the Son of God who was sent by the Father and was crucified, was placed in a tomb, dead for 3 days and three nights. He was raised from the dead by God, seated at the right hand of God, given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us so that we could be at one, God and Christ in him, in reconciling the world back to God. So
Amen.
That kind of power within us must be stewarded and used so that others, as we operate in love, can be delivered from demons, they can be delivered from illness, they can be delivered from bondage and any other affliction when we
Amen.
Believe and walk in love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Nur? Brett, either one of you or Sean? Anybody?
Yeah,
Sean, did you want to?
This is Brett.
Okay.
Okay. For anybody listening, I'm here to tell you that God is my everything. Jesus Christ is the head of everything that I do. Nothing that I do has not been done without him being at the head of it. The thing about it is, once you have a one-on-one relationship with God, and that is only going to come by when you are in a situation that nobody can get you out of but God. Once that happens, you know that it was God that delivered you, then you will have a better understanding of how the Holy Spirit, better understanding of his word, and then you'll seek out and read the Bible. Then and
Amen.
Only then will you know what we're talking about. Because
Amen.
Right now, it
Amen.
Probably seems strange to a lot of people how we can say what we know and what we believe and be so astute about it to the point that it's adamant. But that comes from loving the Lord God. When you make him the head of your household, the head of you and everything that you do, when you pray about whatever it is that you're getting ready to do early in the morning before you take your shower, put your clothes on, get in your car, go anywhere, God will direct you.
Amen, amen, amen. And the reality is we have all different levels of people on the line. We have all different levels of people in our studio audience. So God is a God for all folks. Dr. Nooks, did you want to have a word about who God is to you? And then we'll close it out.
Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Savior, Creator, Sustainer, present. And God's presence is really important to me. I see God in everything that we do, and Jesus was there in all the creation also. I mean, all around us in nature and the things that we in the sky. God's a great artist. But the power behind all of this is God. I mean, in the presence.
All right.
In all of this is God. And God is all around us. And I'm so excited that God is in us. And Jesus did that. Jesus made a way for God to be in us. And when God is in you, it really makes a difference in your life. I mean, it changes you. And
amen.
So it's a gradual change. I mean, there's a change automatically when that Holy Spirit that's been talked about is in you. And all those that believe in Christ have to have the Holy Spirit in them. And when God is working in you and you see over the years how you get closer and closer to God, you know that God is working in you. When the things that used to upset you don't upset you anymore. And when you feel a love and a presence when you used to be alone and God is walking with you.
Come on.
Your life is different and
amen.
And it helps you and it encourages you. When you think you want to give up, God is there and helps you and lifts your spirits. I mean, you can cry all night long and you're going to have some problems, but it's good to know that God is there with you in your tears. So it's a life experience. It's not some one day on Sunday when you go and you get excited but it's with you all the time. All the time. It's not just when you get excited or a few times in your life, but it's a daily walk. And it makes you want to shout and say hallelujah, because it helps you to get through the day and you grow and you're a more loving person and you're able to put up with stuff that people do and you sit back and you wonder, who is this person? It's not just me, but it's God within me. I'm just excited about that.
This is Dr. Susie, and I'm going to quickly say this before we close, and Dr. Nooks, if you close us with prayer tonight, but I just want to say that God is so real, and there are times when you've been walking with the presence of God, and when you fall short and you fall into sin or you step away from God, that presence leaves you. And I'm going to tell you, ain't nothing like missing God in your life. You know, I don't care what happens. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide in my life, because that is a special place, a special thing to have, just to know that God is there. And see, I think sometimes we get caught up and we think if people mature, they all these spiritual giants and they got all this. And you know, we'll all fall short of the glory of God if we don't stay in the Word. And sometimes by the nature, our human nature, we fall short. And so the issue is that the song is real, is we fall down and we get up. We have to understand that God is a God of love. And the faith that we put in him is so important. I remember this story, and I'm going to close with this. It says, when Sir James Simpson, the inventor of chloroform, was dying, a friend said to him, "You will soon be resting on his bosom." And the scientist replied, "I don't know if I can do that, but I think I have a hold of the hem of his garment." See, it's not the strength of our faith
Amen.
That saves us.
Amen.
But a faith that is in a strong Savior. It's not about me, but it's about the God I serve. And there's any and everything that he can't do. There's nothing he can't do. There's no situation too big for God. So each person who's out there, if you're struggling tonight, if you don't know what to do or where to go, God is the Savior who has the strength. That's who Jesus is, the one who's
Amen.
Opening his hand to tell you right now, come unto me, those of you who are heavy laden, and take your yoke upon me, for I will give you rest. And God is able to take you to transform your life, to transform your heart, to help you lay down that addiction where it's alcohol or drugs, to help you move into a place where if it's a sexual addiction, if there's a situation in your life where you're hard-hearted, God can transform you.
Come on.
All
Come
you
on.
Got to do is submit your life to God. And that's what we're doing tonight as we understand and thank Brother Jefferson for leading us in this Bible study tonight about who Jesus is. So we praise the Lord for that. And Brother Nix, would you close us in prayer? Thank you.
Who is this Jesus? He's my Lord. And God, I just thank you for this Bible study tonight. And I thank you for touching our spirits with your spirit and helping us to see and understand you better. And God, I pray that that would increase. I ask you to bless Brother Jefferson as he teaches us and bless all those that are on the line. I'm so excited about sharing with each other and learning and growing. And God, I'm so glad that you love me, even in spite of myself. And you continue
Amen.
To be with me, and I'm excited about that tonight. And God, I ask your blessings upon all those that are on the line that are sick right now in Jesus' name. We
yes,
pray
sir.
For healing. We cast out demons in Jesus' name. And we pray, God, that you would touch the lives of people right now that are seeking you, God.
Yes.
People that are in doubt right now, God, we pray that something would happen, that they would see you and understand that you're real and that you can do whatever you want to do, God. And we just pray that people would be touched right now in the mighty name of Jesus. People need a blessing right now. They need a blessing of a job. They need blessing with the money. They need blessing with love and understanding and kindness. They need a change in their lives. And God, right now, we're turning it all over to you right now in Jesus' name, asking you to use us as your disciples. Help us to be willing servants, God, that we might show you to other people. Help us to love beyond our own capacity, that people might see
yes, Lord.
You through us. God, we ask for a special blessing, God, as we go from this Bible study, that we might be more determined to tell everybody that Jesus is the answer for the world today. And God, we love you and we know you love us. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.